I'm going to begin this morning by reading, by proclaiming one simple verse. And that is Matthew 6:9. That's our verse for today, for our message today, Matthew 6:9. And Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Let us pray. Lord, this is your word spoken by your Son, our Savior. Teach us what it means to pray, "Hallowed be your name." For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I use this illustration at my Wednesday Bible study. And so if you were there, just bear with me. But a six-year-old boy came home from Sunday school, and his mother asked him, "What did you learn today?" And he said, "Well, we learned a lot of things." "Like what?" asked his mother. "Well, we learned God's first name." "God's first name?" "Yeah," he said, "it's Harold." "Harold?" "We learned our Father who art in heaven, Harold be your name." Now, I really don't mean to be funny here, and I certainly don't mean to trivialize the prayer that our Lord and Savior gave us. But in this case, I don't think we're any smarter than a six-year-old, because we don't know what "hallowed" means either. "Hallowed be your name." We just don't use the word in our daily lives. It means to make holy or to treat as holy. It's the same word in the Greek language that is translated sanctify. Jesus prayed in John 17, "Sanctify them in the truth, for your word is truth." But that doesn't really help us much, because we really don't know that word either. Of course, to sanctify means to set something apart for a holy use, that it's used exclusively for God. Luther's paraphrase of this petition of the Lord's Prayer is, "Heavenly Father, help us in every way so that your name may be holy. Help us in every way so that your name may be holy." You know, I think the problem today is that we really don't understand holiness. This is a hard prayer to understand, because we really don't have anything in our society that's really holy. Nothing in our experience is holy. Nothing is sacred. We want everything just to be ordinary. Let me give you one example of that. Weddings. If there's one event that ordinary people dress up for, it's a wedding. The bride wants a spectacular and usually expensive dress, and most everyone puts on their very best clothes. But then after all the festivities are over, it's now common for pictures to be taken of the couple, the bride in this beautiful, expensive dress, to wade out into the water on some shore or some pond, or even worse, into the mud. If you don't believe me, just go to Pinterest and look up "trash the dress." Trash the dress. You see, not even a wedding dress is sacred, holy in our experience. We want to take what ought to be special, what ought to be reserved for an exclusive use, and profane it. That is, make it ordinary. Just trash it. There's a lot of people who want to trash the name of God, because to trash God's name is to bring God down to our level, to make him ordinary, nothing special, to profane him. That image of a wedding dress, that's really quite important. And it ought to be important to us, because you and I were created for a wedding. the destiny God has chosen for you, that he created you and I to fulfill, is to be his bride. And there is a great wedding feast coming, and there will be white garments given to the bride of Christ, dressed in a beautiful white, and that white stands for the righteous acts of the saints, the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. We're not going to trash those beautiful garments given to us at the wedding feast. We're going to treat them as what they are, holy, because they were bought by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the destiny God has chosen for us is to be his bride. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27, we read, Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, right? Make her holy, having cleansed her by washing of water with the word. That's baptism. So we enter into this wonderful relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. It goes on to say in verse 27, so as to present the church to himself in splendor, without a spot or wrinkle or anything of that kind. Yes, so that she may be holy and without blemish. No mud splattered on this dress, right? That Christ might sanctify the church, and you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you're part of this church, and you are going to be collectively the bride of Christ. Pure, perfect, completely and wholly dedicated to God, reflecting God's beauty, God's goodness, God's love, and God's perfect joy. That's what he made us for. All of those attributes of God to be reflected when we stand before him in pure ecstasy as his bride. Now, when God says in the Bible that you shall be holy as I am holy, it means that we are to be dedicated completely to God. That's what it means to be sanctified, dedicated completely to God, that we are to love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind, that nothing is left out. Every part of our life is to be dedicated exclusively to God. God is not going to share first place in our hearts and lives with anyone or anything. That's what it means, that we shall be holy, dedicated completely to God. Now today I want you to go away with a clear understanding of what it means when we pray, Hallowed be your name. I want you to have a clear understanding of that, but even more important, I want you to have a passion for it. If you have a passion for God's name, to be hallowed, to be holy, to be sanctified, we'll learn what that means. If you have a passion for it, you're going to have a passion for God in your life, and then God will be glorified in and through our lives. If not, if we don't have that passion, if we just treat it as ordinary, as profane, we're going to also learn that that will have an influence too, but not a good influence. That will show disrespect for God. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. I'm indebted to John Piper, a Christian pastor, author, and theologian, for these thoughts. He says, think about it. The first thing that Jesus tells us to ask God to do, this is the first thing in the Lord's Prayer that Jesus says we're to ask God to do, is that God would cause his name to be kept holy. The first and all-pervasive, all-influencing, all-controlling concern in prayer should be to plead with God that God would make his name supremely valuable in the minds and hearts of all people. That's nothing less than what Jesus intended when he said, may your name be kept holy. It is to say, Father, cause your great and holy name to be honored and reverenced and esteemed and treasured above all things everywhere in the world, including my own heart. Hear that again. We're really praying, Father, cause your great and holy name to be honored and reverenced and esteemed and treasured above all things everywhere in the world, including my own heart. It is a plea that God would do something about his name. It is a plea that God would cause it to be made holy in our hearts and in the hearts of all people. It means that we are praying that his name be set apart in people's hearts and minds and lives as the infinitely great and beautiful and valuable reality that it really is. We are praying that God's name would be reverenced as the infinitely great and beautiful and valuable reality that it is. He says the first and overarching thing we are told by Jesus to ask God to do is that God would exercise jealousy for his name, that God would display the greatness of God, that God would overcome the blindness to actually seeing him, that God would overcome indifference to believing in him, that God would remove obstacles to knowing and admiring and loving and trusting and treasuring and obeying him. The first thing we should pray for, and the petition that gives unity and depth and a magnificent scope to all of our praying, is that God would make his name supreme in our hearts and in the affections of all in the world. That God would make his name supreme, that God indeed would be our supreme treasure. That's what we're praying for, and it should affect every other petition, every other request that we make of God in this prayer, and every prayer we pray. That's where it should begin. Father, our Father in heaven, make your name holy, reverenced, revered. Make it be the supreme value of everything in this world so that you indeed will be our supreme value. Ah, Luther, Heavenly Father, help us in every way that your name may be holy like this. God's name is the revelation of himself, and that includes the revelation he's given to us in Jesus Christ. It reveals the character and attributes of God. So God's name is God's reputation. God's name is God's reputation. In the Bible, the name of God is synonymous. It is equal to God himself. It is God's very essence. And so when God talks about his name, he's not talking about a label, a brand. He's talking about himself. When I preached on the second commandment some months ago about you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, or in a more modern translation, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for God will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. And I noted that businesses spend millions of dollars a year protecting the name of their business and their products and their brand. A business's most valuable asset is its good name, its brand, its reputation. In a recent survey, 3/5 of chief executives said that they believed their corporate brand and reputation represented more than 40% of the value of their company. 40% of its market value on the stock exchange. For God, it's not 40%. For God, it's 100%. God's name represents his reputation. Richard Lenski, Lutheran Bible scholar, goes into the Greek language here. We can't quite appreciate this word because the original language adds so much to it that we can't express properly in English, but he says it calls on God to make his word and revelation in Jesus Christ supreme in the hearts of everyone. That what God has revealed about himself and revealed about Jesus Christ should be the most supreme thing that we have in our hearts. The Catechism says God's name is already holy in and of itself, but we pray that it may be holy also among us in our lives. God's name's already holy. Holy, holy, Holy is the Lord God Almighty. That's what the seraphim said when Isaiah just was blown out of the water as he saw this vision of God sitting in the temple. Holy, holy, holy. God's name is holy by itself. But we pray in this prayer, we're praying that it will be kept holy in our lives, that we'll represent God well. How was that done? It is made holy when the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and when we as children of God live holy lives in accordance with it. Grant this, dear Father in heaven. But whoever teaches and lives in a way other than what the Word of God teaches profanes the name of God among us. Oh, preserve us from this, Heavenly Father. God's name is kept holy when our lives bring praise to God our Father. In Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a stand and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works, your good deeds, and give glory to you." Ah, and give glory and glorify your Father in heaven. We are to live lives that boost God's reputation, to say, "Oh, isn't God awesome?" We don't do that by drawing attention to ourselves, but drawing attention to Him. Martin Luther wrote in his large catechism, he says, "What does it mean to pray that God's name may be holy? Isn't it holy already?" Oh, yes, it's already holy in its nature, but in our use of it, it's not holy. God's name was given to us when we became Christians. And since we call God our Father in this prayer, it is our duty always to act and behave as godly children, that God may not receive shame, but honor and praise from us. He goes on to say, "Now there is a great need that we ought to be most concerned about. This name should have its proper honor. It should be valued holy and grand as the greatest treasure that we have. As godly children, God should not receive shame from the way we live our lives, but honor and praise from us. It should be our greatest treasure because God's name is synonymous with God Himself. To honor God's name is to, in God's reputation, is to honor God in our lives. The word profane means to treat with irreverence or contempt. Contempt for God and holy things. What God has called holy, and we just say, "Ugh, trash it," like a wedding dress. It's to treat with abuse, to misuse anything that should be held with the highest respect, to defile or debase. God doesn't want us to do that with His name. And so, in our handout, it says, how God's name is kept holy, and there's 4 points here. First of all, believe God's word. Believe God's word. We keep God's name holy. We cause it to be the supreme value of our lives when we believe God's word. Moses failed to do this at one point when the people were wandering the desert, and at one point, remember, they were without water, and they cried out to Moses, and God told Moses, "Take your staff and strike the rock," and then water poured out. Later on, months, years later, they were again in just a dry, dry place, and they were murmuring against Moses, and God says, "Okay, here's what you do, Moses. Take your staff, but speak to the rock. Speak to the rock, and the water will come out." Moses was so upset, he was so angry with those people, he just took his staff and just struck the rock twice. Water still came out, but this is what God said to rebuke Moses. He says, "Because you did not believe in me to sanctify me, to make my name great. Since you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given to them." That one mistake of Moses profaning the name of God, not believing in Him, not doing what God told him to do. Moses was not able to enter into the promised land. Believe God's word. What does it say in 1 John 5:10? 1 John 5:10 says, "He who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar." That's profaning the name of God. Not trusting somebody's word. Saying, "Nah, God doesn't mean what he says." That's to bring God's word down to our common level and says, he's just a liar. So believe God's word. Second, have a proper reverence or fear of God. And in Isaiah 8:12, it says, "Do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy, him you shall sanctify. Let him be your fear, let him be your dread. Don't be fearing what people fear. Don't fear human beings, and don't fear human causes. No, fear God. Put your reverence in God." Number three is obey God's commands. Leviticus 22 says, "So you shall keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. And you shall not profane my holy name, that I may be sanctified, be kept holy among the people of Israel. For I am the Lord who sanctifies you." And so we hallow God's name. We lift up and make it supremely important when we obey God's commands. And finally, when we glorify God, Leviticus 10:3 says, "Then Moses said to Aaron, 'This is what the Lord has said, among those who come near me, I will be sanctified. I will be regarded as holy. And before all people, I must be glorified.'" God is saying, to sanctify God's name, to hallow God's name, to consider it as holy, to regard it as holy, is to glorify God. And so then when we pray what Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, make your name holy," we are saying, we are praying that God would cause us to believe his word, cause us to fear him, to fear his displeasure, to cause his commandments to be obeyed among us, to cause God to be glorified in our lives and in the world. When we pray, "Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy," we are saying, "God, would you help me to trust you, revere you, obey you, glorify you in everything I do. Hallowed be your name." It is that God's name, God's reputation, God himself would be the supreme value in our lives, and that everything we do and everything we pray would reflect that supreme worth whom God is. Oh God, make yourself supreme in my life and in our world today. Let us pray. Oh Father in heaven, this is your word, not my words. Lord, may your words burn in our hearts. May we have a passion for you. And Father, may that passion be expressed in our prayers. May that passion be expressed in our lives. And Father, we can't do this on our own. On our own, this is a word that would simply condemn us. But Lord, this is a prayer. This is something we can't do. When we pray, "Hallowed be your name, may your name be sanctified, may it be holy, may it be reverenced as the all-supreme treasure," Lord, we're praying that you would do that. And you can only do that by coming into our heart as our Savior and Lord. You can only do that by filling us with your Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus in our lives, by just getting hold of us at such a deep gut soul level that we are passionate to have your name be kept holy in our lives and in the world. Would you do that in us, Lord? And Father, if there's anyone here today that's never bent the knee to Jesus, never found in him the supreme value and treasure that he is, Lord, this day, would they confess, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross to forgive my sin. I believe you rose from the dead to give me the confidence of an eternal life with you. And now, Lord, come and fill my heart so that I might glorify you in all that I do. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen."